From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering customized photography sessions and packages to create artwork that captures light and emotion. Now in downtown Lawrence, information and portfolio at tcistudio.com.
It's 70 degrees in Manhattan. It is 66 in Atchison. It is 6:06.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We are always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing independent energy systems such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
Stay tuned. We still have another 42-ish minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. In the next 30 minutes, we are going to talk about tree rodeo as utility arborists complete and compete in a whole series of exercises showing off their talent at wrangling trees. Learn about a debate team at an Oregon penitentiary. We will meet one of the co-founders of Meet Cute NYC, and we will learn about the latest winner of the prestigious International Chopin Piano Competition. All coming up here on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, hosting Soundwaves, an evening celebrating all things audio, Thursday, November 6th, featuring speakers from the industry, curated audio equipment, food and drink. More information at reader.ku.edu/audiosale.
Classical music, following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR One stations. Mozart, Beethoven, Handel, and more. Destiny is your host. If you're joining us on KPR2, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for the Moth Radio Hour. 68 degrees in Lawrence, 69 in Manhattan. It's 6:20.
Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio will have your regional news.
Got an old car taking up space in your garage? KPR's vehicle donation program accepts all cars, and donating is easy. We rely on your donations to help fund the programming you count on every day. Donate your car online at kansaspublicradio.org.
News headlines are up next. It is 68 degrees in Lawrence, 66 in Atchison, 76 in Chanute. It's 6:30.
Create a new agreement.
Charles Maines reporting there. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Some Kansas lawmakers are now raising questions about the level of student fees at state universities, saying they plan to scrutinize how those fees are spent. Universities say fees are needed to cover rising operational costs, faculty salaries, and other expenses that are not financed by state funding or tuition. But Republican State Senator Mike Thompson says fee increases have gotten out of hand.
This is kind of mind-blowing to me. You know, why are we even paying tuition if you've got $2 billion in fees paying for electricity and gas and all these other things? What is that tuition going for?
Members of a Senate Committee on Efficiency say they plan to investigate student fees during the coming legislative session. The Kansas Board of Regents has urged colleges to increase student financial aid to help offset rising costs. You can add Hutchinson to the list of Kansas communities lobbying to be the site of a new nuclear reactor. Two companies have proposed different plans for building a modern reactor in Kansas. Hutchinson City Manager Enrico Villegas told KWCH the proposals offer his city a unique opportunity for economic development. Officials in Coffee and Lyon counties have also expressed interest in hosting one of the plants. The companies making the proposals are TerraPower, which was co-founded by Bill Gates, and a company called Deep Fission. The state of Kansas ranks below average when it comes to the cost and quality of Medicare coverage. That's according to the Commonwealth Fund, an independent group researching healthcare issues. The group assessed how seniors are faring under the government healthcare program in each state. The group ranked Kansas 27th in the nation. Missouri came in at 34th. Vermont, Utah, and Minnesota were the top-ranked states. Coming in last was the state of Louisiana. A frost advisory goes into effect at 2 a.m. running through 9 o'clock tomorrow morning for Atchison, Brown, Cloud, Clay, Donovan, Jackson, Nemaha, Pottawatomie, and Riley counties. That includes the cities of Manhattan, Marysville, Wamego, and Hiawatha. With temperatures as low as 33 degrees, could see some frost covering everything tomorrow morning. Basically, the further north of I-70 you go, the more likely you are to see frost.
Support for NPR comes from this station.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hi, KPR friends. It's Destiny. Do you want to hear my terrible jokes in person? Well, Friday night, October 24th at 7 p.m., it's your chance, the Lawrence Public Library, a free concert that we will also broadcast on our radio airwaves for you. We would like you to RSVP, though, because it fills up quickly. It's a fun concert of Halloween tunes, and I really hope to see you there. Go to kansaspublicradio.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan. Lots of other frequencies, too. We are always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and education. Information at airefugeeslawrence.org.
Thanks for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. Coming up, another 11 minutes of All Things Considered. Then, if you're listening on KPR One stations at 7:01, you will hear an update of news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next, we have the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center at JCCC, presenting the Vienna Boys Choir October 25th, sharing music across the globe for six centuries. Details at jccc.edu/mtc.
Frost advisory late tonight, 2 a.m. through 9 a.m. for Atchison, Brown, Cloud, Clay, Donovan, Jackson, Nemaha, Pottawatomie, and Riley counties. Everyone else expect a low in the upper 30s tonight. It's 10 minutes before 7.
From Focus Features with Begonia to conspiracy-obsessed young men kidnap the CEO of a company, convinced that she is an alien intent on destroying Earth. In select theaters Friday, in theaters everywhere October 31st. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Running late in the morning? It happens. You can still start your day feeling pulled together. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. Or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Become a KPR sponsor and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Stay with us. News headlines are coming up next, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny coming right up. Mozart, Beethoven, Handel, and more. As far as the weather goes, for most of us, mostly clear skies tonight with a low in the upper 30s. However, the further north you go, the more likely you are to be covered by a frost advisory, 2 a.m. through 9 a.m., Atchison, Brown, Cloud, Clay, Donovan, Jackson, Nemaha, Pottawatomie, and Riley counties. Temperatures as low as 33. Good likelihood of frost tomorrow morning.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
This is KPR. It's 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the U.S. has conducted its eighth strike against an alleged drug vessel. The strike occurred in the eastern Pacific Ocean. Previous ones were in the Caribbean. Hegseth says the strike killed two people. In a brief video he posted, a small boat can be seen exploding in the water. President Trump is rolling out sanctions against two Russian oil companies. NPR's Mara Liasson reports it's the first time Trump has done more than just threaten Russia in his second term.
At a meeting with the Secretary General of NATO, Trump said the new sanctions on Russia were tremendous and that he hoped they would help settle the war with Ukraine. But in a move that will disappoint the Ukrainian government, Trump also ruled out sending that country long-range Tomahawk missiles.
It'll take a minimum of 6 months, usually a year, to learn how to use them. They're highly complex. So the only way a Tomahawk is going to be shot is if we shot it, and we're not going to do that.
Ukraine has been lobbying the White House to provide Tomahawks, but Trump seems to have closed that door for good. Mara Liasson, NPR News, the White House.
The United Nations top court ruled that Israel must work with the UN to bring aid into Gaza. As NPR's Rob Schmitz reports, the ruling is a rebuke of the blockade Israel imposed on Gaza earlier this year.
The International Court of Justice's President Yuji Iwasawa took more than an hour to read the court's opinion that Israel, because it exercises a degree of control over Gaza, is deemed by the Geneva Convention an occupying power. As such, the court reasoned, Israel is bound by the convention's law of occupation, which states that an occupying power must provide humanitarian aid to the civilians under its occupation, in this case, Gazans. The court went further, saying Israel, as an occupying power, may never invoke reasons of security to justify the suspension of humanitarian aid, and that the population of Gaza has been inadequately supplied by Israel. The court also said the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, or UNRWA, has not violated any laws, as Israel has claimed. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
A new study shows Florida's restriction on cell phones in schools has led to higher test scores, attendance, and improved student behavior. Danielle Pryor from Central Florida Public Media has more.
A report published in the National Bureau of Economic Research found suspension spiked during early adoption of Florida's 2023 restrictions on cell phones in schools. But after the first year, disciplinary actions were down, and by the second year, fewer kids were absent from class and test scores had improved. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says no phones is a win-win for students and teachers.
Who wants to dedicate their life to sitting in front of a group of kids that all have their face buried in the phone?
Some 30 states and the District of Columbia now restrict cell phones in some way during school. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Pryor in Orlando.
U.S. stocks closed down today. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 22nd. We got our first picture from the surface of another planet 50 years ago today, when the Soviet Union's Venera 9 landed on Venus. It transmitted data from the surface for 53 minutes, including a wide panorama. Venus is completely covered by thick clouds, so we can't see its surface from Earth or even from orbit around Venus. Orbiters use radar to peer through the clouds. Venus also has a hot, dense atmosphere, so landing there is tough. Venera 9 parachuted through the clouds, measuring their thickness and composition. At the surface, it measured the density of the atmosphere, about 90 times the density of Earth's atmosphere. And it measured the surface temperature, about 900 degrees Fahrenheit. The lander was supposed to take a full 360-degree view of the landscape, but the lens cap on one of its cameras didn't pop off as planned, so Venera photographed only half of the scene around it. The image revealed a flat landscape covered with wide, flat rocks, and the lighting was comparable to a cloudy summer day on Earth. Venera 9 relayed its findings to Earth through an orbiter. Communication ended when the orbiter moved out of range, ending our first direct view of the surface of Venus. Venus is the beautiful morning star this month. It's low in the east at dawn and slowly fades from view in the waxing twilight. Tomorrow, the most ravenous black hole. And we have more sky watching tips, astronomy news, and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Opening with that one. Here on KPR, it never gets old for me. Antoine Charpentier, Prelude and Te Deum. It's like rock music for Baroque. Oh, the English Chamber Orchestra. Hi, I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me. I've got a lovely hour of music programmed for you. We are doing some Baroque and classical. I've got a little Mozart symphony for you, a rather famous one, in about 10 minutes, but I thought I would keep things sweet and play for you Handel's Sweet Bird. It's very beautiful. Beautiful chamber music, from soprano to flute to cello to harpsichord, and there are some great musicians on this recording. Anthony Newman on harpsichord, Lutzky on cello, Rampal on flute, and Kathleen Battle, soprano. I hope you enjoy listening to it by Handel, right now on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Well, the audience liked that one. Here on KPR, Handel's Sweet Bird. Kathleen Battle, soprano. And then Ron Paul on flute, Lucy on cello, and Newman on harpsichord. I would love to hear you clap like that Friday at 7 p.m. Save the date, the time, the everything. It's live day all day on KPR. And then there's the free evening concert at the Lawrence Public Library where yours truly, moi, and friends will play some spooky sounds. And I've got some new music this year that is epically funny and entertaining. You'll love it. This is made possible by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister Healing Smiles of Topeka. And you can see the full live day schedule at kansaspublicradio.org. I promised you a Mozart symphony, and now I will deliver Symphony No. 39 via the Kansas Public Radio airwaves. John Elliott Gardner and the English Baroque Soloists. Enjoy.
Thank you.
that symphony brings back interesting memories here on KPR. Mozart Symphony No. 39 with the English Baroque soloists, conducted by John Elliott Gardner. Yes, one of those movements, or actually more than one, have often been used for musicians to audition to get into orchestras. Yes, the haunting excerpts. I'm a violinist, so I can promise and attest to the fact that it's a popular one indeed. Our sponsors are popular, and I must thank them because they keep us on the airwaves, and we so appreciate you. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Dole Institute. Visiting fellow Jerry Seeb moderates the midterm election 1 year out, featuring Amy Walter, editor of the Cook Political Report, on October 30th at 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org. And Blue Collar Press. Located in Lawrence, Kansas, Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising. From design to production to fulfillment. More info at bluecollarpress.com. Last night, I played Love's Sorrow for you by Kreisler. Now I'm going to play Love's Joy, which is also for violin and piano, but I found a great recording here of Vladimir Ashkenazy playing Rachmaninoff's arrangement for solo piano. So, I hope you like it on KPR. Thank you. Well, a very interesting take on Chrysler's Love's Joy for violin and Rachmaninoff arrangement here on KPR, performed by Vladimir Ashkenazy. Dramatic, very dramatic. Well, I'm Destiny. I'm also pretty dramatic sometimes, and I appreciate you listening to music with me and also helping to keep things lighthearted and fun. Next hour, I've got a lovely Haydn minuet, and then something that I actually played last year for the Live Day concert. Yes, we'll see if you remember. It's by Beethoven, and it's spooky. There's your hint. And please, again, don't forget that Live Day is this Friday, 9 a.m. it starts. We'll be in the public library in Lawrence and also our performance studio at the station, broadcasting live, wow, for most of the day. And I am closing the evening at 7 p.m. with an hour-long concert that will be broadcast on air, but it's also live and in person. It's free, just RSVP, because the seats fill up quickly, and I would love to meet some of you, so hopefully you'll come out. All right, NPR News is up next, and then more music for you here on KPR.
Hey, it's Layla Faldin. Whether it's a roadside stop in Missouri,
they have like signs and billboards. It says a very big halal, you know, so.
Or in a forest searching for brook trout.
It's just cool. Cool to see them persist and knowing they've been here for so long and they still find a way to make it.
Morning Edition from NPR News is always where the story is. Come along with us every weekday morning.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on Kansas Public Radio from 5 to 9 a.m. You are indeed listening to Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The University of Virginia has reached an agreement with the federal government that would pause ongoing civil rights investigations. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reports the Justice Department has been looking into the school's use of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and its handling of anti-Semitism on campus.
The agreement between Virginia's public flagship and the DOJ comes after months of negotiations and will suspend the five remaining investigations into the university's admissions practices and DEI programs. The deal doesn't require UVA to pay anything or give up academic control or freedom, which makes this agreement different from deals that the White House has made with Brown University and Columbia University to reinstate federal funding in exchange for agreeing to specific political priorities. Instead, UVA agrees to follow civil rights law regarding race and report quarterly to the DOJ to demonstrate it is following those rules. The university's interim president, Paul Mahoney, said the deal represented, quote, the best available path forward. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
The entire east wing of the White House is coming down. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, it's an expansion of the scope of President Trump's White House ballroom project.
The East Wing was built during World War II and has been modified over the years. Until recently, it housed the offices of the First Lady's staff. Explaining that it needed to be torn down, President Trump downplayed its significance.
It was never thought of as being much. It was a very small building.
Trump said it didn't make sense to save the East Wing at the expense of the massive new ballroom he has planned.
In order to do it properly, we had to take down the existing structure.
Images of excavators tearing into a wing of the White House have set off alarms for groups concerned with historic preservation. The White House says preservation work was done and calls the controversy, quote, pearl clutching. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
Meta told its employees today it plans to cut hundreds of jobs in its artificial intelligence division. As NPR's Bobby Allen reports, the layoffs come after a years-long hiring spree at the tech company.
Meta is laying off about 600 employees who work on AI development. That's according to an internal announcement confirmed by NPR. There are still thousands of Meta employees working on AI projects, including superintelligence, or building AI systems that can exceed the capabilities of the human brain. But the layoffs indicate that some of Meta's recent AI hiring has been overzealous. It comes just as investor fears grow that the AI industry has become a bubble that could pop and cause economic upheaval. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has spent billions to recruit top AI talent from OpenAI, Google, and other tech companies to try to stave off competition in the AI race. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Tropical storm Melissa has dumped rain on parts of Haiti. It's expected to strengthen into a hurricane by Friday. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt. Through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Better vascular health essentially equals a lower risk for another stroke or experiencing another heart event like a heart attack, for example.
That KU graduate researcher is studying which type of exercise is best for vascular health for those who have suffered a stroke.
My name is Bria Bartsch. I am an occupational therapist and an exercise physiologist, and I am in my fourth year of the PhD program in rehabilitation science at KU Medical Center.
You're studying types of exercise. What are some examples?
We are looking at moderate intensity continuous training and high intensity interval training performed on a seated stepper. You can think of moderate intensity continuous training as continuously exercising at an intensity that is similar to that which you would reach during a brisk walk. And you can think of high intensity interval training as going really hard and then slowing down for a bit and going really hard again and slowing down and repeating that over and over.
This study is ongoing, so you don't have all the data. But what are you seeing?
I am blinded to which group people are in, so I don't know if they're doing the moderate intensity training or the high intensity interval training. What I can say is so far I am seeing improvements in artery health. I just don't know what group people are in.
How will this research make a difference for those who have suffered a stroke?
So our hope is that by finding an exercise intervention that may help improve vascular health to a greater extent than the most commonly prescribed form of exercise, being moderate intensity continuous training, that we may further reduce long-term risk of having another stroke or having a heart attack.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
probably Haydn Minuet here on KPR to start this hour. Consortium Classicum playing for us. One of my favorite little Haydn minuets. I've noticed that I've been following Haydn with Beethoven a lot. Probably not an accident, since Beethoven was his teacher, but still. Hi, I'm Destiny, and I'm a violinist, and I went to music school, and in music history, that's what I learned. So sometimes you get historical, or shall I say historically informed programming. Ooh, I have something at the end of the hour that somebody requested that they can't hear on my Saturday shows because they can't listen because they're working on Saturdays. So I'm going to play it at around 8:40. It's a capriccio for piano and orchestra. It's quite nice. I hope you will stick around to listen to it with me. Right now, we are going to listen to Beethoven's Piano Trio No. 5, The Ghost, something that I played on Live Day last year. And, well, come hear me this Friday, playing more great music, 7 p.m. at the Lawrence Public Library. All right, this particular recording of Beethoven's Ghost features the Borodine Trio right now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ooh, the ghost here on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan. Named after that haunting second movement, one of my absolute most favorite things of all time. The Borodin Trio. I hope you liked it too. Thank you, dearest of listeners, and thank you for those of you who are supporting us here on KPR. Support for classical music comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting the annual Tribute to Veterans Gala on Sunday, November 9th, which is open to the public. Reservations are required. Details and registration at doleinstitute.org. And 715 Restaurant at 715 Massachusetts Street in downtown Lawrence. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 3 p.m. till late. More is at 715mass.com. All right, a request from a listener. Stravinsky's Capriccio for Piano and Orchestra. It's pretty exciting. I hope you enjoy listening to it. I know I say that I hope you enjoy listening to it a lot. It's because I really hope that you like the music I pick. This is Esa-Pekka Salonen with the London Sinfonietta and Paul Crossley on the piano here on KPR. Stravinsky's Capriccio for Piano and Orchestra, the 1949 version, here on Kansas Public Radio. Esa Pekka Salonen conducting the London Sinfonietta with Paul Crossley at the piano. I hope you enjoyed that and it did not make you cross. Get it? Paul Crossley. Okay. That was a terrible joke, but when your name is Destiny, you are the butt of so many jokes about Destiny's children and you're my destiny and blah, blah, blah. It's okay. They never get old. It's pretty funny. All right. It's been great being here with you folks. I'm back tomorrow. Jazz in the Night up next after the news on KPR.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and education. Info at airefugeeslawrence.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The U.S. carried out another lethal strike against a boat that the Trump administration says was transporting drugs. As NPR's Sage Miller reports, Trump defended the repeated attacks during a meeting with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte earlier today.
Trump believes the strikes are necessary because they're preventing drugs from entering the U.S.
Every one of those boats that gets knocked out is saving 25,000 American lives, not to mention the torn-up families all over the country.
Drug policy experts say those numbers are overstated, given overall drug death stats in the U.S. The administration has not shared any details regarding evidence used to target the boats or what was on board. Trump argued the U.S. is allowed to carry out the attacks because they're happening on international waters. It's the eighth known strike targeting vessels the administration says are carrying narcotics since Trump took office in January. Sage Miller, NPR News.
The Trump administration has announced sanctions on Russia's two largest oil companies. It comes after efforts to end the war in Ukraine have repeatedly failed. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has been asking for more foreign help, and Trump canceled a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin to discuss ending the war.
Hopefully he'll become reasonable, and hopefully Zelensky will be reasonable too. You know, it takes two to tango, as they say.
The Treasury Department said the sanctions are a result of, quote, Russia's lack of serious commitment to a peace process. Mayoral candidates in New York City met for their final debate tonight. A major flashpoint was leading candidate Zoran Mamdani's longstanding support for Palestinian rights, which has drawn criticism from many Jewish leaders, NPR's Brian Mann reports.
More than 700 rabbis across the U.S. have signed a letter accusing Zoran Mamdani of denying Israel's legitimacy and accusing the Jewish state of genocide during the war in Gaza. On the debate stage, Mamdani, who would be the city's first Muslim mayor, promised to fight anti-Semitism.
I will be the mayor who doesn't just protect Jewish New Yorkers, but also celebrates and cherishes them.
Former Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's trailing in the polls, responded this way.
You're the savior of the Jewish people? You won't denounce globalized intifada, which means kill Jews. There's unprecedented fear in New York.
New York is home to the largest Jewish community outside Israel. Mamdani has won endorsements from some Jewish leaders in the city. Brian Mann, NPR News, New York.
Tesla reported a 37% drop in income this quarter compared to last year. Tesla delivered almost 500,000 cars, likely boosted by customers taking advantage of the federal electric vehicle tax credit, which ended in September. This is the third quarter in a row that the automaker has reported a drop in profits. Tesla attributed the slide in part to higher tariffs, raising the costs of production. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Peru's new president declared a state of emergency in the capital in the latest attempt to stem a surge in gun violence. President José Jarí said the emergency in Lima will last 30 days. He's considering deploying soldiers and restricting freedom of assembly and movement. Peru has seen an increase of killings, violent extortion, and attacks on public places in recent years. Doctors have new tools to evaluate a person's biological age compared to their chronological age, which is based on a person's date of birth. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports that President Trump's doctor now estimates that the 79-year-old has the cardiac age of a 65-year-old.
Using the results of an electrocardiogram, doctors can use AI to estimate a person's cardiac age. Physician Douglas Vaughn of Northwestern University explains the tool has been developed by using millions of EKG results and machine learning to detect very subtle changes and patterns that track with heart disease risk.
So I'm a cardiologist. I can't tell your age. I have no clue what your age is based on how we learn how to read an electrocardiogram. But this tool does things that the human eyes can't do.
He says the tools are still being studied for accuracy and may become part of preventive medicine to detect disease earlier in life. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
The Agriculture Department says it will reopen about 2,100 county offices despite the government shutdown to help farmers get access to $3 billion worth of aid. The USDA says each office will have two workers to help farmers apply for loans, crop insurance, disaster aid, and other programs. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
Lettucey, best known for her work as an R&B, soul, and pop artist, but has always loved jazz, and has a new Dynamite jazz album out called For Dinah, dedicated to Dinah Washington, one of Lettucey's musical heroes. That opens Jazz in the Night tonight here on Kansas Public Radio. It's our Wednesday night weekly new release spotlight. I'm bringing you two tracks each for four of the best new albums of jazz. Bassist Christian McBride produced this new album, and he's there with a terrific big band. No indication on who does the arranging on this album, but the big band tracks are really good in that regard. Xavier Davis, piano, McClendy Hunter on drums, although the liner notes call him Hunter McClendy. It's McClendy Hunter and a cast of a lot of other great musicians with Lettucey. We'll hear more from this, of course, on the way in a bit, the new one from tenor saxophonist J.D. Allen. And right now, it is pianist, composer, and arranger Irving Flores and his Afro-Cuban jazz sextet. The new album is called Armando Mi Conga, and this is Dana Point on KPR. That is an Irving Flores composition and arrangement. He calls it Dana Point. It's from his new album called Armando Miconga, the Irving Flores Afro-Cuban Jazz Sextet here on KPR. That terrific conga drumming by Giovanni Hidalgo. Irving Flores, of course, the pianist. John Benitez, bass, Horacio Negro Hernandez, drums. Trumpeter Brian Lynch and baritone saxophonist Norbert Satchel. A real all-star Latin band indeed. The Afro-Cuban Jazz Sextet led by pianist, composer, arranger Irving Flores. Really outstanding young piano player, Kaylin Cardello, with a debut album called Chapter One. We'll get to that in a bit. And a new one from tenor saxophonist J.D. Allen. And his album, well, it's pretty descriptive. The title, Love Letters, The Ballad Sessions. J.D. is often out on the edge improvisationally. But on this one, he's diving into the world of ballads and a great, great performance, I think. Brandon McCune is a pianist. New to me, the bassist and drummer Ian Kensilar and Nick Cacioppo, I should say. And this is J.D. Allen's version of You Are Too Beautiful on KPR's Jazz in the Night.